it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is hour two, time for Toker Talk Radio, and my goodness, I gotta record a new intro. I've already had to record a new intro for a while. The phone number is new. We don't have that 971 number anymore. If you're interested in chatting, our number now is much easier. You can dial us at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's our new number, 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. That spells LEGAL-MJ. I told that to somebody this weekend. They say, how'd you get that number? You got that number? Oh, my God. It's a Google Voice number. You can find some pretty cool stuff on Google Voice. Check it out. Yeah, this weekend I was in Ashland, Oregon. What a wonderful place. Ashland is like the first town you get to when you're going north on I-5 from California. It's smack dab in the middle of the Rogue Valley, part of the northern annex to the Emerald Triangle. It's got the same kind of weather and culture and entrenched growing industry as the Emerald Triangle does, but you don't have to deal with all the California bullshit. So it's a wonderful place. Ashland is just gorgeous. Had the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, and I got some bad news for you. I wanted to play for you some of the stuff from the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Got this great long-form interview with Tommy Chong. Got a great keynote from Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. The head of Oregon's Liquor Control Commission, Rob Patridge, spoke to the crowd, had some great question and answer. I wanted to play that stuff for you for the next 3 days this Thanksgiving week, because I'm not going to do a show on Thanksgiving or Friday. Unfortunately, as I was doing the production on it today, I discovered that whoever was running sound on this gig was sending the background music through the press patch. So when he'd turn it down, like, you know, he'd have all sorts of background music. When he turned that down on the main PA, it was not turning down on the press patch. So everything I have recorded has this soundtrack of music over the top of it. And you can't hear a damn thing. So my apologies. I wanted to bring you some great audio from this weekend, and now I got nothing. Although I can't say I got nothing. I got some great memories. Friday night we went out, had dinner at a place called the Black Sheep, kind of a British themed pub, shut that place down, and then went across the street. And Ashland, Oregon is like hippie central, man. It's just, you know, white kids with dreadlocks and you know, sandals and drums, right? So we headed to this bar, and they got this band playing. It's kind of a band. It's like they got a guitar player and a drummer. Well, not even really a drummer. It was more kind of a loop machine. And then a bunch of people with bongos and hand drums playing. And they're all kind of playing that trancey sort of hippie stuff, right? And it was cool. And I come walking in. And understand that I just come from the conference. So I'm in my full, like, silver suit, dress shoes, kind of, like, standing out like Darth Vader at a Klan rally, right? Just way out of place. But I noticed up on stage they had a bass sitting there. No one was playing it. So I tipped the band, gave them a 20, and asked if I could get up on stage. And for the rest of that night, baked out of my face, because it was Ashland and we were smoking a lot of pot, I got to play bass with the hippie jam band for like the rest of the set. And God, what a great memory that is. I really had a good time. And it was fun to watch them kind of shocked that Mr. Businessman in a suit could get up and just wail on bass. So we had fun with that. No recordings, though. So my apologies for that as well. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk more about politics, more about the weed industry, and what I've been up to since we last talked. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio on the Russ Belville Show, live on CannabisRadio.com from Delta 9 Studios. We'll talk about that, too.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor, or are you smoking sun-grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 9 after the hour, coming to you live from Delta 9 Studios in beautiful Southeast Potland, Oregon. That's right. We got a new home. That's why I was off last week. I know a lot of you, I've been getting tweets and emails and messenger requests. People going, oh my God, Russ, what happened, man? Are you still out there? Oh, we haven't had a new podcast since October. Oh my God. Oh my God. I appreciate that, folks. I really do. I don't mean to leave you hanging, but here's what happened. So, like, we had election night. It was Tuesday. And then, like, Wednesday, there was no way I was going to do a show, because it was like we were pretty worn out. And instead, me and the Cannabis Radio crew, Coleco and a bunch of the others, went to Long Beach. Yeah, took a little drive to Long Beach and had a good time there and hung out and ate and drank, and it was good. And then the next day, I drove down. I didn't fly. I had gotten word on election night. For those of you who watched my election night coverage, understand I was doing that entire coverage having just heard an hour before going on the air that my father had to be rushed to the hospital with pneumonia. Now, my dad's 74 and has had some health scares and not the healthiest guy in the world as far as, you know, exercise, eating right, all that kind of stuff. So that whole election night, I did that whole night trying not to think about my 74-year-old dad having pneumonia being in the hospital, right? So the next day after we did the Long Beach thing, it was time for me to drive back. And I was going to drive back to Idaho to visit my dad in the hospital. So I leave and drive up Barstow and then up to Las Vegas, right? Get outside of Las Vegas and I'm just exhausted. I can't drive anymore. So I pull off the side of the road, catch a couple Z's, get up an hour or two later, start driving again. It's like 3 a.m. or some way ridiculous hour. And I'm just kind of out of it. And I get to this junction and I took the wrong turn. I was supposed to turn one way that takes you up through Carson City and then up until Boise through Western Nevada. I took the wrong way and ended up going through Eastern Nevada up through Ely and up into Twin Falls. That added about another 2 hours, 3 hours to my drive. But I did it, made it all the way to Twin Falls and across Twin Falls to Boise. My dad was fine. Dad's fine. He has some sort of acid reflux and it was causing, he was like inhaling his own bile at night and that was what caused the pneumonia. They gave him some acid reflux medicine. He's fine. In fact, he was back home by the time I made it to Boise. So I didn't really need to drive there, but I did. So I drive back. That took up all my Thursday and most of my Friday. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll do shows the next week. But that was last week. Last week, we had to move. We've got this new house here. Myself and Jeff from weednews.co, one of my partners at weednews.co, and Lori, who is an activist with Southern Oregon Normal, or was with Southern Oregon Normal, but now she runs the some medical marijuana clinics up here, Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine. And so we now have this house full of activists, and we're calling it Delta 9 House. So we are at Delta 9 House, and this here will be Delta 9 Studios. So I got to fix the intro now so that we're live from Delta 9 Studios and that our phone number is 650-LEGAL-MJ. So that's why I've been gone. Too much from the election and then too busy having to move. And then at the end of last week, I had to make my way on a Greyhound bus down to Ashland. My first time ever on a Greyhound bus, by the way. The bus itself is nice. Passengers leave a lot to be desired, but the bus was nice. Let's just put it that way. But I thank you all of you who missed me and were sending out those well wishes and all of that. Thank you so much. And I should let you know that the show is going to be kind of spotty for the next few weeks as well because of all of the holidays coming up. This week, we're only going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because, of course, Thursday, Friday is Thanksgiving. The following week, I have it scheduled for all 5 days, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do all 5 days because Portland Weed Week is happening November 28th through December 3rd. And Portland Weed Week, I'm emceeing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I might have to take another Thursday, Friday off. So this week might be three days. Next week might be 3 days. And then, oh, you're going to hate me now. You're just going to hate me. I'm going to be off for 2 weeks. I'm going to be off for the first 2 weeks of December. No, you can't do it. Yes, I have to do it. The next December 5th, that week of December 5th and the week of December 12th, I won't be on at all because I'm going on vacation. I am headed to Negril, Jamaica. For vacation. And this is the first vacation that I've had in a decade or more. I have to say vacation because if you follow me, if you're out there following me, Radical Russ, on any of my social media, you know that I travel a lot. Oh, I forgot. I also did Columbia, Missouri. Jeez, I got to tell you about Columbia, Missouri. We'll come back to that. But I travel a lot. But the thing is, anywhere I'm traveling, I'm working. Like, I can tell you all about the inside of the Marriott Hotel in X City or whatever, but I don't get a lot of chance to actually do stuff, right? I'm always emceeing or speaking or reporting or writing or whatever. So this will be my first actual vacation in a long time. I've been saving up for it all year, too. It's been hard to afford, but managed to get it done. So I'll be gone first 2 weeks of December. Then, week of December 19th, that'll be a full week. We'll have a full week, middle of December, and that'll be our kind of look back at 2016 week, you know, the best of, what were the funniest Reefer Madness stories, what were the funniest, you know, what was the biggest drug war data mining, that kind of stuff. Retrospective shows coming up in the week of December 19th. The following week is Christmas week. And, of course, we won't do anything on the Monday, but we'll do the other 4 days. And then the following week is New Year's week, and we won't do anything on New Year's Day because we always take federal holidays off. And then we'll do a full week, and then we'll have another week, Monday the 16th, where we won't be on because that's Martin Luther King Day. And like I said, we take off the federal holidays. All of this is available through my calendar. Unfortunately, I don't have the calendar up right now, but that's another project we're getting into, is getting the Radical Russ website back up so that you can just look on the calendar and see whether or not I'm going to be somewhere. We've also got a lot of great guests that we'll be adding on to the show. I mentioned being in Ashland, Oregon. And in Ashland, I got to run into these activists, and forgive me for forgetting their names, but the guy, I wish I could remember his name, damn it. Signs for his girlfriend who is deaf. In fact, he learned signing so he could date this woman, and now they're married, right? And so whenever I see him at these gigs, he's standing in front and he's signing for his wife and her friends who are hearing impaired. And so while we were there, it was one of the coolest things I have ever seen in my life. Okay, so Tommy Chong is doing a special sit down interview with Steve Bloom. And it's like an hour and a half thing. They go over Tommy's career. They go over his before Cheech and Chong days as a musician. They go over his prison time. They go over his latest stuff with Chong Bongs and stuff. But throughout the presentation, there's clips. Like, they'll play a clip of Tommy from, you know, Up in Smoke, a clip of Tommy from That 70s Show, right? And then, of course, they play a clip from the Cheech and Chong album days. And the clip they pick, of course, is... Who is it?
It's me, Dave. Open up, man. I got the stuff.
Who is it?
It's me. It's me, Dave. Open up. I got the stuff.
So they're doing the Dave thing, right? The Dave skit is playing over the PA. Tommy's up on stage with his head buried in his arms, laughing. And I'm thinking, like, I've heard Dave like a billion times. How many times must Tommy Chong have heard Dave? And it's still cracking him up. He's just dying. He's just laughing like crazy, right? So that's happening. I'm looking at Tommy Chong cracking up to Dave, and then I look to the left to Tommy Chong, and there's the guy, again, whose name I forgot, and I'm sorry I forgot, but there's the guy signing it. The Dave thing being done in sign language was fascinating. It was interesting because as he was signing it, he was also kind of doing the characters and also like signing in whisper. Like, and I don't know sign language, but you could just tell watching him which part, you know, he was whispering, because his signs would get kind of smaller and his face would get kind of, you know, a little tighter to the signs. It was amazing. I loved it. I wished I had filmed that. And I think somebody has a copy of that, but seeing the Dave skit done in sign language, I thought was fascinating. The other thing that fascinated me about it was thinking about it is, like, does the Dave skit go over with deaf people? Right? Because, like, the whole point of the joke is that Cheech is going to get found because he's being too loud and the cops are going to get him. Does that joke work in the deaf community as well? I didn't ask and I don't know, but something to think about. There's a good time out there in Ashland, Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, and we'll bring you some more from that right after the break.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
But that sound means that it's 420, my first 420 break from Delta 9 Studios. I think that means I better make a second look at how safe this place actually is. Time for a safety briefing, everyone. Come back and we'll talk some more. I'll tell you about Columbia, Missouri when we return.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers? From a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour. Not 43, 23. Man, that's some good weed. Hope you've got some good weed, too. And if you don't, we're working on it. We're going to get that weed out to you as soon as we can. Legalized. Got a piece I wrote up for weednews.co today. You can check it out, weednews.co. What is the difference between an indica and a sativa? And did a lot of research on this, and it's interesting because, you know, we tend to think of indica is indica couch, right? You can have an indica, it's going to give you couch lock. And if you have a sativa, it's going to give you a heady, kind of high, kind of a buzzy kind of a feel, right? That's the generally accepted wisdom, right? Well, beginning to learn that it's not as simple as that, and it's not nearly that easily delineated. Now, morphologically speaking, there's some truth to it. Like, sativas are going to be tall and thin and reedy and kind of have thin leaves and stuff, and sativa or indicas are going to be bushier and lower to the ground and thicker leaves, right? This has to do with the land races that they derive from, right? You got your indicas coming up in Afghanistan, Hindu Kush, that area where they had to deal with a more dry kind of climate, right? And then you got your sativas, your Thai, your Panama red, that kind of stuff coming up in more jungle-like conditions, you know, more humidity, more heat. And they needed the thin leaves to respirate better, right? That's the origin of that kind of stuff. But what they're finding out, of course, is that landrace strains are rare, real hard to come by, and most of the strains we're dealing with these days are hybrids. But even with hybrids, we'll say sativa dominant, we'll say indica dominant, and so on. But what they're finding is that the indica and the sativa itself isn't so much the issue. First of all, THC is THC, right? THC in a sativa is the same molecule as THC in an indica. So what makes the difference? Well, it's the other stuff. It's that entourage effect we talk about. It's the other cannabinoids. CBD can make a difference. CBD is it moderates the psychoactive effect of THC. So something with a higher CBD in it is not going to be as heady. It's not going to be as buzzy. The other thing they're finding is the terpene called myrcene, M-Y-R-C-E-N-E, myrcene. Now, this is a terpene that we also find in hops. And myrcene seems to have this effect that when there's more than 0.4% of the myrcene content, it flips what THC does. Yeah, like the plants that have low levels of myrcene, THC gives you that buzzy, heady kind of effect. But if you get like a 1% myrcene in there, that same THC now has more of an indica effect, more of a couch lock type of effect, to the point where one of the researchers on this was writing about how in the future we need to start monitoring myrcene content. You know, just getting a strain at the store that says 24% THC isn't going to tell you whether that 24% THC is going to make you heady buzzy, or is it that 24% THC going to make you couch locked. But 24% THC plus 2% myrcene, hello couch. So it was fascinating to me reading this. And they also did, there was a study that was published last year that did some genetic testing on various strains and found, of course, that the naming of the strains is fairly haphazard and not very accurate. They even found like a Hindu Kush that's supposed to be, you know, this heavy duty indica testing the same as this other thing that was a heavy duty sativa. Anyway, it's fascinating stuff. You can find it up at weednews.co if you want to read that, pass that along. And the other thing we've got going here is I was just recently in Columbia, Missouri. This was last weekend for the Missouri Cannabis Conference. Now, this is one of the regional conferences that get put on by grassroots activists across the country. They do these in Texas. They do them in the South, like Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina area. They've got one. I think Massachusetts has one that does a regional. There need to be more of them. I'd like to see more of these regional conferences. But at this Missouri conference, first of all, I flew into Kansas City. They've got a great new downtown redevelopment in Kansas City. They've added a streetcar line that's absolutely free. I managed to get down and have myself some barbecue, had some burnt ends. When I travel, one of my things is I got to eat the food that is unique to that area. So when you're in Kansas City, you got to eat barbecue. But then we made our way to Columbia and had that conference. I was the keynote speaker for the conference, and it was really, really a pleasure to be able to do that. And I'm going to check out on my recorder because I do believe I've got that one recorded, and we'll see if we can get that played for you sometime. But while I was there, I got to meet a fascinating gentleman. Looked a lot like me, except better looking and better shape. but what I mean by that is, you know, tall, bald, white guy. And so I meet this tall, bald, white guy, comes up to me and says that he's a colonel, or he was a colonel, in the U.S. Army. And he served in Afghanistan. And he was telling me that while he was in Afghanistan, he discovered my podcast. And he said he became a big fan of the podcast and listened to it daily. And from my podcast, he got educated about hemp, about marijuana, about policy, and so forth. And part of what his job was when he was there in Afghanistan is he was an advisor to the flag officers out there, the generals, that were in charge of revitalizing and repairing the Afghan economy. We bombed the hell out of this country. Let's see if we can set it back up again. So this colonel tells me, he says, so I don't know what to do, you know, because Afghanistan is kind of lacking. He said, Afghanistan, by my estimation, has three things to power its economy. Minerals. Well, the problem with minerals is that's mining and that's infrastructure, and this is a war-torn country and not much payoff at first and a lot of labor, and it'd be tough to start. So he says, all right, well, the next thing they got is opium. Right? They can make a lot of opium. Well, that's problematic. We really don't need to be producing more opium when we're currently going over going through a worldwide opioid epidemic. And then he tells me the third thing that he thought of was cannabis, hemp. He said it's all over Afghanistan. Hell, it's where cannabis came from, right? Afghan Kush. So he said, you know, listening to the podcast and recognizing the economic viability and opportunity in industrial hemp could be a way out for the war-torn, ravaged country of Afghanistan to begin a new hemp economy. So he says he does his research. He figures out, you know, the 50,000 uses of hemp and gets the economic projections and all that. Takes it to the flag officers. And they laughed him out of the room. He said, I'd never been so embarrassed in my life. I was laughed out of the room for the remainder of my military career. I would get snide jokes about stoner this and pot that. This guy is a full bird colonel. This guy speaks five languages. He's told me he went to the, you know, Army Defense Language School. He was a, you know, intelligence guy. Speaks five different languages. But because he suggested an industrial hemp economy to some generals in Afghanistan, that was enough. That was enough to tar and feather him. Now, he still managed to have an honorable career and wasn't forced out or anything. But it goes to show how deeply ingrained this prejudice is and how far it can go and how even just innocuously suggesting a hemp economy is enough for some of the mainstream to just completely reject you. It's the part of this Trump win that's got me so concerned. I was rereading the chat room. And by the way, if you're listening and you don't realize, we do have a chat room here, live chat that you can get involved. Check out our Spreaker.com player for that. But I was rereading the chat room and there was a few people talking about how my predictions are overblown and this is what anti-legalizers would say and it's not going to be that bad and Trump's all states' rights and so forth. And I hope so. I really hope I'm wrong. But I've been saying there's going to be a backlash coming. So many people didn't see Trump actually winning this thing. So many people didn't understand the idea of a backlash, that there was this white vote out there aching to have its say, and successfully did so. Now, it may be the plaintiff wails of the Brontosaurus as it sinks into the tar pits, but it ain't sunk into the tar pits yet. That Brontosaurus still got a long tail to be flipping around and knocking shit over with. Likewise, I think this next 4 years could be that death spasm of prohibition. Now maybe the death spasm of prohibition is a good thing. Maybe these guys with control of all the levers of power, the courts, everything they need, maybe they overreach. Maybe they underestimate what the support is out there. Maybe they don't see 60 and 70% votes for medical marijuana and 80% public support for medical marijuana and 60% support for legalization. Maybe they don't see that. Maybe they think that's fake. Maybe they get the pressure from oil, timber, gas, all these pharmaceutical industries, rehab industry. Maybe they make a push. Maybe they start to believe that 60% is a function of it being legal and people not getting busted for it. Maybe they think with some raids and shutting down some of the commerce that people's support will drop. Maybe now that they control a lot more of the levers of power, more of this anti-pot propaganda comes out. These 6-point IQ drops and big marijuana taking over and billboards of pot leaves out here in Portland and so forth. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I think a backlash is coming. And I think there's a lot of people out there that still hate pot. And I think that the support for prohibition is more energized than the support for legalization. And I mean outside of us, of course, right? you and me, right? We pot smokers, we're pretty damn energized at keeping our ass out of jail. We're pretty damn energized about being able to shop at a pot shop. Yes, we are active and vocal, but we are 8% of the population. And the majorities that are making up the 60% that are voting for legalization, are they that committed to it? Are they that wed to the idea? Is that such a big deal to them? I don't think it is. I think it's one of those things where, yeah, I don't smoke pot, but it's stupid to lock up pot smokers. And then maybe that's as far as they think of it. And maybe pressured by propaganda and seeing raids and arrests might flip some of their minds. I don't know. We will see. We will see. Maybe it's good. Maybe they overreach over this next 4 years, and that means the 4 years after that, we move forward faster. Maybe had Clinton been in there and been like Obama, things would have gone slower over the next 4 years. Hard to tell, but we shall know soon enough. We're going to take a break and try to be even safer when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Chronicling the latest cannabis industry news and headlines.
Well, with four states with tax and regulate and the District of Columbia.
The state of cannabis.
Oh my God, it's refreshing. We have people that generally wouldn't speak on behalf of cannabis for fear of retribution, fear of losing your practices, fear of many of those things, and find ourselves in a place that we finally can.
Bringing you fact-based news and views and keeping listeners on the pulse of what's happening in the industry today. The State of Cannabis. On demand anytime, only on CannabisRadio.com.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 38 after the hour here, live from Delta 9 Studios in beautiful southeast Potland, Oregon. Checking up on some of my social media feeds, and good friend Elise McDonough out at High Times is focusing on a controversy that happened this week at the event I didn't go to. While I was out in Columbia, Missouri last weekend and Ashland, Oregon this weekend, in between was the Las Vegas Marijuana Business Conference, and like 10,000 people attending this thing, the biggest marijuana conference in the world. And I wasn't there. I don't even want to think about why I wasn't there. I was just too busy, really. I was too busy and too much stuff going on. The Cannabis Radio crew was there, so I'll talk to them and see how things went. But apparently it was a big success, aside from something that is being called Meatgate. I get a little tired of gate being the suffix for all controversies, but okay. Elise McDonough writes this up about offensive Meatgate incident outrages cannabis activists. And what it was is a photo from the Marijuana Business Conference at a private party that was held by Altai Brands, A-L-T-A-I Brands. And what it was is they have a model, female, in a bikini who has,
what is it called? Charcuterie?
Deli meats. Okay, basically. So they've got this woman with pepperoni and salami and pastrami and all this other stuff draped over her body. Her arms, her stomach, her legs, her breasts. She's still got the bikini on, though. And, of course, next to her are the rolls and the you know, the sauces and stuff you'd put on it. But she was basically the serving platter for deli meats at a marijuana business conference. And cannabis activists are not too happy about this. A bunch of them are calling for a boycott of Altai, Altai, for what they say is literally treating a woman as a piece of meat, or at least a serving tray for pieces of meat. Brandon Krenzler from here in Oregon referred to it as serving dead flesh on live flesh. And there's people that aren't very happy about this because a lot of women that I work with, a lot of the women in the cannabis industry have for years lamented the sexism, the objectification that we find among some of the brands in the cannabis industry. It's a back and forth that goes on this because one side says, well, women should be able to do whatever women want to do. The other side says, yeah, but you're letting yourself being taken advantage of. You're being objectified. You're promoting sexism, rape culture, etc. And for some, it's problematic because the marijuana industry is poised to be the first industry that is female-led, that is female-dominated, with more of our CEOs being female than almost any other industry out there. As for my opinions on this, I think there's time and place for sexism. That's a terrible way to say it, Russ. What I'm trying to say is that, like, there's some contexts in which the sexy aspect is expected or okay. Like, if it's a party cup, right? We're talking about a festival. And we're talking about a DJ booth that's got, you know, 420 nurses or scantily clad women. That's a different level than putting a woman on a table and dressing her up in meat for people to eat off of. Right? I think there's a line that's been crossed there somehow. The other thing, of course, the ads that you'd always see for High Times and other cannabis magazines. For the longest time, you'd see this ad of a woman naked, presumably, with buds covering her bits. And that's always been called out, you know, sexist, you know, the objectification and so forth. Debbie Goldsberry called them out. And Debbie works, was longtime Berkeley Patients Group. She's with, I forget who she's with now. But anyway, Debbie Goldsberry tweeted out on this, and her tweet was, "I'm super disgusted to see a photo from the Las Vegas Marijuana Business Conference from the Altai Dixie Party. The photo shows a woman laid out on a table covered with slices of meat. She was the serving tray for a platter of cold cuts. This is incredibly disgusting in so many ways. Please help me send a message to them that this is not okay. Women of the industry will not stand for this, and we must protect ourselves from these creepy people who want to treat us like meat. Guess what? Boycott. Pull Altai from your dispensary shelves and demand an apology. Here is their contact info." Debbie got a response back. And the response from the company is the following. "Good afternoon, Debbie. As a female cannabis leader myself and owner of Altai Brands social media agency, I wanted to share the following statement from them. Altai Brands sincerely regrets a poor decision we made during a private event in Las Vegas by having a professional model act as a physical server for charcuterie. It did not demonstrate the respect that we have for all women. We pride ourselves on representing California cannabis culture at its finest, and we are committed to maintaining a community that recognizes and values the inherent dignity of every person by fostering sensitivity, understanding, and mutual respect of our customers, employees, and partners. The team at Altai is dedicated to making sure that all future events meet our high standards that reflect the core values we live each and every day. Again, we would like to apologize to the community and hope to demonstrate our firm dedication to respectful treatment of all and to assure everyone this will never happen again. We will be reaching out to you personally via private message to discuss this serious matter personally." All right, so that's the that's the controversy going on right now with the brand and whether or not it will be boycotted. I don't know. We'll see how this turns out. I think it's a little tasteless. You've seen this kind of thing before, too. Like, I've seen it as like a sushi thing where they have sushi being served off of a woman's body. Wonder what your thoughts are. We'll check out the chat room. Looking at some of the responses. By the way, welcome to some of the new chatters that we're seeing out there. Dan, Tierras, Seanson, and so forth. Thanks for being here. We'll be here every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also catch the podcast on demand at iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Also getting some of my content uploaded to the SoundCloud. You can check me out at soundcloud.com/RadicalRuss. In fact, I'm Radical Russ on everything. Look all around the social medias. If it has a username, I'm Radical Russ on it. We're very excited about this future that is happening here. Even despite the election of Donald Trump, let's try to imagine how good things can be. Because the worst possible outcome we could get, if you look at this from the federal state perspective, is the feds shutting down commerce. They have that power. They can shut down the pot shops, the commercial grows, the commercial processors, the delivery systems. All of that could be shut down. That's a part of the Commerce Clause. That's within their federal authority. What they cannot do is force states to punish people for pot. So what we've got as far as legal possession, what we've got as far as legal cultivation and legal processing, and for that matter, medical marijuana, none of those things can be affected by the feds, no matter how hard they try. So the optimistic take on this, and some of you in the chat room have been bringing this on. In fact, John Thomas just said it's the DC model, right? The grow and give model. You can have weed, you can grow weed, you can give it away, but nobody exchanges money over it. That could be the best result, the best worst scenario we might get, is we all end up with the Washington, D.C. model. But that, I think, is a possibility that they might want to pursue. Think about Kevin Sabet and his influence and who he's going to be talking to. Everything they try to fight against legal marijuana with right now has to do with big marijuana. Oh, it's big marijuana. It's a predatory corporation. It's a green rush. They only care about making addicts. They're going to addict our children. By God, what about the children? So if they were successful in eliminating big marijuana, getting rid of stores and billboards and grows, but leaving us to be able to grow our own and smoke our own and give it away to each other, they'd see that as a victory. They'd love that. We killed big marijuana. We kept the price of marijuana high by keeping it underground. By keeping the price of marijuana high, we keep it out of the hands of kids. By keeping marijuana illegal, we still keep our cops and our DEA employed. So when someone says to me, well, Russ, I mean, the worst they could do is shut down commerce. I'm like, yeah, that's what they want to do. Shut down commerce. Well, the states will bitch. The states will bitch because the states are getting all this tax revenue. But which states have gotten tax revenue so far? Washington, Oregon, and Colorado. Those states don't have enough power for their bitching to make much difference. Now, if California's market had already been rolling and had already been bringing in tax revenue, it's a tougher fight. They're not up and running yet. Won't be till 2018. So wouldn't it be in the Trump administration's best interest if they really did want to shut down commerce to do so as quickly as possible before California gets online? You've already got the people in Massachusetts looking at shutting it down. Looking at allowing cities to automatically opt out. Looking at making it so the taxes are double what were proposed. I said it earlier this hour. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm just, I've smoked too much pot and I'm just paranoid. I hope I'm just cynical and jaded. I hope I'm just getting too old. I'm creeping up on 50 and I just can't imagine the new perfect pot world that's on our way. But I've generally not gotten broke betting on shitty things happening. I've generally done okay that way. You never go broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people, right? But we'll keep our eyes on it. We'll keep fighting. There's a lot of directions this could go. I don't know that anyone can make a super accurate prediction, given that we're talking about a President Trump who he himself doesn't even know what the hell he's doing. I don't think Trump can predict what he's going to do the next day. How can we predict what Trump's going to do the next day? Oh my God, it's going to be an interesting 4 years. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here from Delta 9 Studios in Southeast Potland. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show's Toker Talk Radio live on CannabisRadio.com. We love each and every one of you, some of you more than others, but all of you at least a little. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We got about 5 minutes left here in the hour, and I want to give a hat tip out to the folks at Reason.com. They have done an investigation how Idaho's drug warriors stole hope from epileptic kids a reasoned investigation uncovers how cops, prosecutors, and lobbyists conspired to restrict a promising cannabis-derived seizure treatment. Eric Bohm has written this. It's online today at reason.com. And it's a lengthy treatise on this. It goes into the Bush-Otter administration vetoing their CBD-only bill and how Elisha Figueroa, who is the Idaho drug czar, conspired along with the Prosecuting Attorneys Association, the Idaho Chiefs of Police, the Fraternal Order of Police, and others to oppose this. The big quote: in one email to Otter's chief of staff, Figueroa notes that she'd been, quote, working tirelessly all session to oppose the bill. Figueroa wrote, quote, with no hesitation, I will tell you that the criminal element in this state will use this law to disguise their illegal drug activity. If Idaho's going to open the door, please allow me the opportunity to bring stakeholders together and do it correctly. So Figueroa lobbied Butch Otter to get him to veto the CBD-only bill, and he did it. Only governor out of 16 or 17 that have had this bill come before their desk, the only one to have vetoed it, the only one to have looked at epileptic kids having seizures and say, sorry, you can't have non-psychoactive CBD oil. And for Elisha Figueroa, first of all, remember Figueroa is the chicken shit who bailed out of a marijuana debate against me back in January, the day of the debate. This woman thinks that a CBD oil law would be used by the criminal element to disguise their illegal drug activity? Really? First of all, this CBD oil law that they had didn't allow for cultivation. So it's not as there was no production in it. It's not as if some illegal pot dealer could have a garage full of plants and get away with it by saying they're all Charlotte's Web. That was not a possibility. How exactly was a CBD oil law going to benefit the criminals who traffic in THC? That's the level of reefer madness going on in my home state, my birth state of Idaho. So check out this reason.com expose on this. Nice to see the spotlight shone on Idaho. Insane. This was Senate Bill 1146. It would have been CBD oil with less than 0.3%. You could only possess it if you had permission from a licensed physician. The physicians could only recommend it if there was intractable seizures for kids. And by intractable, they mean, well, we tried everything else. We shoved every pharmaceutical down that kid's throat we could think of. Nothing helped. Hell, can even mean they tried electroshock therapy, could even mean that they tried brain surgery and it didn't work. And then after all that, all right, we'll give them the non-psychoactive derivative of a plant that hasn't killed anyone in 7,000 years of recorded history. You know, just to be safe, we're going to make sure we don't give them any dope or anything. So I'll tweet this out. I'm going to tweet the link out on my Radical Russ social media. I'll also put it here in the chat room. This is your homework, folks. There's your chat room homework for the day. Reason.com archives. Check that out. Insane. Just insane, folks. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in to CannabisRadio.com. And thanks for sticking with me even after a prolonged break. I needed it, though. Had to move. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. The facts, the science, the reason, the logic you need to win the water cooler debates. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Thanks for joining us again. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
take a seat. You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you own it, you smoke it, and it goes down super.